It don't take much strength to pull a trigger, but try and get up every morning, day after day, and work for a living. Let's see him try that. Then we'll see who's the real tough guy. The working man is a tough guy.
Party people say, party people say,
welcome
hey.
To Randy.
Hey, hey, this is Black Monday. If you're an NFL fan, chances are one of your coaches or your GM or somebody has been fired. But welcome, it's Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Paul Rayside.
And what's up, y'all? New Year's Eve, it is Tay, Eric Taylor, and boy, whew. It shouldn't be called Black Monday. It should be Red Monday, right? Because we're not in the black. These guys are in the red because they are gone. But hit us up. Join us on the journey. You can send us some, you know, emails and stuff. We're talking NFL all show. You can call us at 718-664-9098. The email, Twitter, and Facebook, it's RAEANDTAY today, and that's at gmail.com. So, oh, man, we'll... We got a lot to talk about. It's unfortunate, right? The end of the year. But Ray, let them know what the show, what we're talking about on this NFL day, man.
All right. Well, if you're an NFL fan, welcome. If you're a Rantay fan, welcome, because we're about to talk a lot of NFL in the next hour. So we'll get to some breaking news, which morphs into I Need a Job Monday. With all the hiring, with all the firings of coaches and GMs, we'll talk about those six critical games on Sunday, which determine the playoffs and the positions and the seeding and who's in and who's out and who was clutch and who wasn't. And then we'll finish up the show with our normal segment, Champs and Chumps, where Ray and Tay bring you their champs and chumps, so the best and the worst performers of the weekend. So, Tay,
for the last time of 2012.
For the last time in 2012, tell us about some breaking news. And by the way, is your resume ready?
My resume is ready. So you put that out on Twitter. I actually think that you and I could probably do a better GM job than a lot of these guys. So the resume is really getting typed up. I will say this, before we get into the major seven jobs, you know, there's some smaller jobs out there, but guys lost jobs on this day, and it's wild. I mean, of course, you know, we'll go out there in Oaktown. The Raiders fired the offensive coordinator, Greg Knapp, and we know that the Tennessee Titans, they kept their head coach, Munchak, but they fired, like, the COO, what is his name? Grinefeld, yeah. So
Grinefeld,
he's gone.
Grinefeld, yeah.
Yeah, Grinefeld, yeah. So he's gone. I think, you know, obviously Jacksonville, they kept their coach and they got rid of Greg Smith, their GM, you know. So there's some GM positions that need to be filled separate from coaching positions. Just like in New York, the Jets finally did what they needed to do and fired Mike Tannenbaum and Rex Ryan stays. So, you know, and we'll talk about the other places where it's the coach and GM that are gone as well. So it's interesting, and, you know, things are being evaluated all through the league, and we'll talk about all these jobs and everything. But I got to tell you, man, it is definitely a weird thing when you see these guys, because you know that it's right before the new year. They've got kids in school, their families, and you know, it's easy to finish out the school year, right, because you're not starting a new job, you know, in another new organization just as yet. But, you know, it's got to be hard to be the wife and the kids of an NFL or NBA or any professional coach or GM or stuff like that, man.
No,
like
it
I said,
it
shouldn't be Black Monday,
Ray.
It should be Red Monday.
That's true. But you know what? It's funny because you could look at it as one way or the other. Well, you could say, well, it's right before the new year and daddy got fired and or mommy got fired. Unfortunately, there's no, I just thought about that. I don't know of any female execs in football. We need to change that. We need to get the females involved. There's some female, people who know some football, but basically daddy got fired today, the second the season ends. And I thought about it, and I said, you know what? In some ways, it's the best thing because now there's no uncertainty, and if you're going to fire the guy, fire him the minute the season ends and don't drag him along and fire him like April or May, because, you know, that's what happens in training camp with all these cuts where you go from, 90 people down to 53, because if you're in that mix and you don't know if you have a job, the worst is uncertainty. The worst is getting fired after a stretch of uncertainty and having all the chairs fill in terms of musical chairs. So I think it's actually the most, believe it or not, I think it's actually the best thing and the most humane, quote unquote, thing to do.
I mean, those guys can get other jobs. No. I mean, it's business. It's business.
What does a fired GM do? Because you could argue that a fired coach, and we'll talk about them, let's say a North Turner, who cut his teeth, or a Lovie Smith, although Lovie, I think, would only accept a head coaching job from now on. But let's say a North Turner, who cut his teeth as an offensive coordinator, then was a head coach, then returned to be an OC, then became a head coach again. Those head coaches that get fired that were coordinators in the past, like a Romeo Crennel, can go be coordinators again. What does a GM do? If you were a GM of an NFL football team, what do you do? As if you want to stay in football, what do you do?
Well, maybe you get into scouting. Maybe you get into assistant GM.
Personnel? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I think for example, there's word that the Jets are trying to talk to, I think it's Mark Ross from the Giants, who's their head of scouting for their GM position. You know, he's done so well helping to, with the GM there, to draft these, great guys and scout, and the Giants have done well in terms of, replenishing their talent. So maybe he becomes the Jets' new GM. Also, what's the new trend is now the owners are saying, like in KC, Hunt said, look, the coach, I don't want to limit my next coach. The coach, just like in Jacksonville, the coach will answer directly to me, the owner, not through the GM. And so that's what happened with Khan. Khan is like, look, Greg Smith is gone, and Malarkey answers strictly to me. I meet with him once a week, and that's it. So,
That's an interesting new model. But, yeah, let's go through them one by one.
Well, let's go with the longest tenured guy, and we'll start with our man, 14 years, Andy Reid. One Super Bowl loss. Six division titles, NFC championships.
Six conference titles.
Yeah.
NFC championships. One NFC title. Yeah.
He's gone, and I guess, we'll look at it where he might go. I don't think he's going to take time off. There's KC, there's Buffalo. There's San Diego, and he's going to get a lot of interviews. Probably wouldn't get one in Cleveland. But, he's going to have a couple of different opportunities with seven jobs opening, at least to maybe be five of them. If I was him, I definitely would not take this Arizona job unless you can bring a quarterback with you, because it's a mess. And, I wish Andy the best. I wish he would take a year off. Personally, I think he needs to. But it looks like he's going to go through. And, the players were angry and disappointed because they realized that they failed him. And, I think the Eagles are probably going to go the college route. They might bring in your boy from Penn State that was the OC, O'Brien, for the Patriots for the 1 year and the head coach of Penn State. They're looking at Chip Kelly, this guy Cutter that's, big, and Mike McCoy. So there's a lot of different guys. What do you think about Andy and where the Eagles will go, right?
I think human nature kicked in, and when you preach the same thing for what is it, 14 years,
14
15
years.
Years, that your message wears thin, especially in this day and age with this new age of athlete. And I think it's the best thing for the Eagles and the best thing for Andy Reid to part with a handshake. He knew that the bar was set, that even 8-8 wasn't good enough, that he needed to get to the playoffs with the team that they had assembled. And so I think it's the end of an era, and Andy Reid did some really amazing things in Philly. You know, you and I both don't like his offensive philosophy and the fact that he just disdains the run. And he's had some talented running backs in Shady McCoy and Brian Westbrook, and really hasn't utilized them to the fullest as a runner. He's great at incorporating them in the passing game, in the short passing game, and that West Coast offense. He's offensively very gifted, and he's a player's coach. People like playing for him. So Andy Reid will land on his feet, whether it's San Diego, where apparently he's got a house there on the West Coast, or somewhere else. Andy Reid's a football guy, and I think that, you know, like that athlete that you have to pull the jersey off his back, he'll be in the league for the next, you know, 10 or 15 years. Now, personally, should he take some time off? Probably. But who knows? Who knows how a guy like that who's been in football his whole life is, you know, is composed. By the way, do you remember that punt, pass, and kick that they showed back in the day with Andy
Reid?
Yeah,
and Andy Reid was...
Andy Reid is like the most enormous jumbo 13-year-old you've ever seen. He was so much bigger than everybody else. It was hilarious.
Yeah, man.
But no,
Andy
Reid is fine, and the Eagles need to move on. So
hey,
I think it's
give
Lurie
credit. They honored him nicely. You know, they just showed it from Eagles.com, and you know they made a nice speech. They're talking about. He might be the winningest coach. He is right now, but might be forever the winningest coach in history. And they said that they will definitely have him back in some years and retire him as an Eagle. So, you know, I think it ended peacefully and on good terms. And so we'll see where the Eagles go and where Andy goes. Let me ask you this. Do you go young for the Eagles? Do you say, let me see if I can get Gruden or Cowher? Or do you say, I want McCoy or Kelly? Like, what do you think the Eagles might do or should do?
I like to go opposite. So if Andy Reid is an offensive guy, I'd love for them to get a defensive guy in there. The problem is the leading candidates, Gruden's an offensive guy, Chip Kelly's an offensive guy, O'Brien's an offensive guy.
Yeah, they would definitely want an offensive guy.
Yeah.
I disagree with, too.
I like I said, I would like to turn the page because at 14 years you're an offensive guy, and I'd like to get somebody with sort of a tough nose, maybe defensive
head coach.
What about Lovie?
What about Lovie Smith?
I wouldn't mind Lovie in Philly. I wouldn't mind. They might want to bring somebody new in, you know, like you said, a college coach, somebody with a breath of fresh air. To me, if you're the Eagles with their crazy fan base down there in Philly, you got to take somebody that's pretty thick-skinned and can get along with the media and the crazy fans. So it's not
See,
like,
that's why I like Lovie.
In most places.
And that's why I like Lovie, because he dealt with a crazy fan base in Chicago for 9 years and only made the playoffs 3 years, even though he lost them in Super Bowl. But Lovie is class. Lovie is even-tempered. You know what I mean? Like, Lovie's one of those solid guys that knows how to handle the media, can, you know, just be whatever. To get, like, some... I don't know. I think you could be throwing a Chip Kelly, who's really never coached in the NFL. You could be throwing him to the wolves. So I don't put them.
And by the way, the NFC East looks tough. So it's not like it's a cakewalk when you go into Philly.
Oh, gosh. Listen, all the teams have talent. I mean, you could say right now that the Eagles, when you look at their roster, they might have the least amount of talent out of the four, but even that's debatable because they still have talent too. So, you know, they got to fix some things. But let's look at Chicago. Our boy.
The Bears.
Lovie Smith. They started off 7-1. You know, and that's rough. You know, I mean, they won the game they needed to win, but it was too late. They didn't make the playoffs, you know, didn't win the tiebreakers. And Lovie made the playoffs 3 out of 9 years. the fan base wanted to get rid of him, and he struggled picking offensive coordinators, his defense and defensive coordinators, and, well, he was a defensive coordinator as well, but his defensive line coach, Rod Marinelli, you know, Marinelli is great. And I just think maybe, I don't know, the players, Cutler said he feels like he failed them. I think the GM failed them a lot because they never got enough offensive talent. It took forever to get a Marshall for Cutler, and they never gave him good offensive linemen. So to me, it does, you know, it's really, I don't think Lovey deserved to be fired. That's just how I feel. So I don't know what the Bears are going to do, what direction they're going to go. Would you bring Andy Reid there because they need offense?
So if my philosophy holds true and he's a defensive guy, then flip the switch and go offense. Although that franchise, a lot like the Steelers, their identity is defense and toughness. So it'd be sort of interesting to bring an offensive West Coast offense type of guy to Chicago. So I don't know if that meshes for me. But Lovey, you know, Lovey's a little bit like the Andy Reid Jr. syndrome in the sense that he was there for 9 years instead of 14, had three playoff years, one great year where they went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman and Kyle Orton. So that's got to be something right there.
That's a great job right there.
Yeah. Like you said, never really had the offensive stability. Now, part of it's maybe his fault, too, and, you know, the Mike Martz era where that was weird, where Mike Martz was the head coach in St. Louis and he was his DC, and then he's the head coach and Mike Martz is his OC. So that dynamic was always a little bit weird to me. But Lovey, after 9 years, I think it's best for both teams to part ways, too. So I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Lovey will probably find himself a nice little job. He won't have as good a team, right, if he goes to the Chiefs or to the Jaguars or to the Browns or somebody like that. But, you know, he needs to start over, too. I think Chicago were a little tired of him. And, they, frankly, he might be tired of Chicago, too. And I think that the Lovie Smith and Brian Urlacher era is going to come to an end together, right? I don't know if Urlacher will be back next year. He may or may not. But pretty much that tenure, and I think of them together, and they're pretty much riding out in the sunset together.
Yeah, I think Lovey's a class act. If he doesn't get a head coaching job, because some of these organizations might want to recycle. I mean, we don't know what the Cleveland Browns will do. I could see Lovey going there and doing well, but I could see him definitely getting a defensive coordinator job. The first time I thought about that, Lovey at the Browns might be a pretty good fit. So we'll see how that goes. So now let's go out west and look at the Chargers, man. They got rid of, like the reporter predicted a couple of weeks ago, they got rid of the GM and the head coach. So Smith is gone and North Turner is gone. So I really think what I'm hearing and what I think would be a good fit and who deserves a chance is my man, who was with the Colts and used to be with the Steelers, Big Ben, offensive coordinator, Bruce Arians, who has done a great job with the Colts this year, could get coach of the year, but I would probably give it to Leslie Frazier since they made the playoffs. But Bruce Arians, to me, it's time, and he's proven that he can handle the media, the players, the young players. He would be fantastic for Philip Rivers. And I just think Bruce Arians is going to be the next coach of the San Diego Superchargers.
That sounds good to me. Look, this move came a year late for both of them. You could argue maybe 2 or 3 years late. AJ Smith, I mean, oh, God. He had that contentious relationship at the end with LaDainian Tomlinson, with Darren Sproles, with Vincent Jackson, Sean Merriman. All these guys that
look at the talent he's pushed out of town. Gosh.
Yeah, and so Norv, you know, there's some guys, as it turns out, that may never be good at being a head coach, or may never be great at being a head coach. So as great as you are as a coordinator, maybe that just doesn't translate. And that's your ceiling to being a coordinator. And maybe Norv needs to just focus on the X's and O's and be, you know, one of the best offensive coordinators, you know, in the game. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, you need to be a leader of men, and you need to be in any position in the NFL as a head coach or as an offensive coordinator. But sometimes the it's like the Dilbert principle, right? You get promoted based on what you did. But that jump from offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator to head coach means your roles become more inspirational, and you become more of a leader and less of a tactician. And some of these guys are just tacticians, and there's nothing wrong with being a great tactician. So Norv will probably end up as an offensive coordinator somewhere again, and then maybe in 3-4 years he might end up being a head coach again.
Yeah,
but,
you know,
I think the tenure was
yeah,
a little rocky
see
at the end, but go ahead.
No. I mean, I totally agree with you, and I think Norv, it's been reported that he wants to continue on. He'll probably get an OC job. I honestly think your boy Jason Garrett needs help. I don't think he can handle head coach and OC. I think Norv, you know, is a Cowboy guy, a Cowboy legend. I think he should return back to Dallas to be the OC. It would be the perfect fit in marriage. And he could really stabilize that offense and help develop DeMarco Murray and put some balance where the Cowboys need. If not, I could see Norv and Lovey married together in Cleveland or KC or something. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't expect Norv to come to the Jets. I don't know what's going to happen for the offensive coordinator for the Jets. We'll see. You know, I haven't heard Sparano officially fired, but I assume that that's probably going to happen as well. So we'll see what the Chargers do. I could see Bruce Arians. I could see them going young. I could see them going in their own division and taking away Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator for the Broncos, or even Jay Gruden, the offensive coordinator of the Bengals, you know. So that's going to be interesting to see where the San Diego Chargers go. And I think they want to rejuvenate Phillip Rivers, so I expect them to go with probably an offensive type of, you know, mindset.
Andy Reid was always mentioned for that job because
yeah,
of his
yeah,
ties
I'm
to California.
Sort of, and he could still get it. I've just been hearing that they're not really, you know, that he's too similar to North Turner and just that whole whatever. And the fact that the power that Andy had in Philly, he will not be able to get that in San Diego. So I don't think it will necessarily work out. And we got to find out what, you know, Reed wants to do, right? Because he was buying, kind of getting the groceries and cooking them. So we'll see. So let's check out, let's go to Buffalo, man. Chan Gailey's gone. They still haven't decided on their GM yet. He might be gone soon. But Chan Gailey, I mean, he's had a disappointing, you know, it was only 3 years. Maybe you got to give a guy more time, more chances. But I didn't like the hire from the jump. Chan Gailey, to me, is better maybe as a coordinator. I think this year they kind of underachieved. You know, the Bills, you know, some people thought that they'd be better. I thought that they might be 10-6 or 9-7. But I just think that maybe he's linked to this Fitzpatrick guy, and Fitzpatrick is not really – he's just average. And Chan Gailey's got – the Bills have a lot – when you look at the Bills' roster, they've got a lot of talent. They really
do. They
do.
And they opened up the checkbook. And they opened up the checkbook to bring in all those defensive studs. You know, they had Mario Williams – and they had Kyle Williams, and they made some big moves. And Ralph Wilson, you know, he opened up the checkbook as much as they say, oh, it's a gimmick playing that one game in Toronto and this and that, and they might move him to L.A. and whatever. You know, put all that noise aside. The money was spent. They saw a few good games in Ryan Fitzpatrick. They gave him his money. They brought the defensive free agents in there. C.J. Spiller and Fred Wilson, Stevie Johnson, Fred Jackson, George Wilson. Yeah, they have talent on both sides of the ball.
A lot of talent.
But I think a couple of things. So I think Knicks, the GM, you know, again, his fate is kind of up in the air. But Chan Gailey, as you said, is an offensive coordinator for most of his career, never really – had a great track record as a head coach, and ultimately you as a coach, and it's like the Jets, right? The coach, the GM, and the quarterback are like this three-ring bond that you can't, you know, the weakest link, and you go nowhere. And unfortunately, you know, Chan isn't the strongest head coach, at least his record hasn't proven him to be. And then Fitzpatrick let everybody down. You know, what happened to those first five or six games of that season 2 years ago where we said, oh, the kid from Harvard can play? And now, you know, they've got to look for a new quarterback too.
Yeah.
They got to look for a new quarterback too, unless you think a new offensive coordinator can get something out of Fitzpatrick. He's making too many mistakes. And
now,
he had,
the owner,
you know, Donald.
Oh, yeah, the owner said that they'd be looking to probably get a new quarterback, whether it's for competition or to replace Fitzpatrick. So, you know, look, we'll talk about the draft later, but it doesn't seem to be a strong, you know, the guy from NC State, you know, Geno Smith, Barkley, none of them seem to be so great. I mean, Vanderbilt was killing NC State today, probably destroyed them. You know, so, and he did not look too good, this guy. Was Lemon from NC State. So, you know, there's not too much out there. And even a free agency, there's not too much out there. But I would say this, I could see Buffalo. I could see a Lovie Smith going there. You know, and I could see, listen, there's no guarantee. Arizona, since they fired Wisenhunt, they have kept all the defensive staff, and they might want to promote Ray Horton from within. He's going to get a lot of interviews, and I could see him going to Buffalo and working wonders with that defense. So watch out for that. I could definitely see the Bills hiring Ray Horton if you know, the Cardinals give
permission. If he can bring a quarterback with him. Actually, when you're a defensive coordinator, I don't think you can turn down a head coaching job. So
they'll get
a lot of consideration.
And guess what? Maybe they put in a system where they start to run the ball with CJ and Jackson, you know, both getting like 15 carries a game and run the ball more. Hold, you know, have Fitzpatrick not be this gunslinger and not be pass happy, and you know, change the offensive philosophy, you know, and just try to dink and dunk and run the ball down the field. You got a good tight end in Scott Chandler. You know, they need a different philosophy because these receivers are not so great. Stevie Johnson is a number one, but to me he's like a number 2-1. He's like a 1A. He's not really like a 1-1. And then the other guys get hurt. You know, you've got Donald Jones. You've got Brad Smith. You know, you've got some other guys, but they need some help.
I like Chandler, though. And you know what? They should pay these guys in chicken wings. You know, and send them up there in Buffalo, man. If you play real well, we'll give you, you know, 20 chicken wings.
Chicken wings or just regular chicken wings? With some hot sauce?
I'm trying to get confused.
Oh, man. Well, look, let's keep it moving. And kids,
chicken wings up in Buffalo, man. You know, you got to be creative on your incentivizing.
In Buffalo wings. Well, in Buffalo, maybe they need a dome. Maybe that's what they need, so their quarterback can not have to throw in all that bad weather and wind. But, again, another cold place with dedicated fan base. Hunt has let go and is still evaluating Scott Pioli, the GM, but they fired Romeo Crennel, and he's gone after just a year and a half. And, listen, the Chiefs were supposed to be better this year. You know, some thought they'd win the division. I thought they'd be, you know, middle of the road, maybe 7-9, 8-8. They were 2-14, and they have the number one pick. The Jags have the number two pick. So that type of season, I mean, even with the tragedy and everything, it's sad, but you know what? It's inexcusable. But you're tied to the quarterback, right? Because Matt Castle got hurt and didn't play well. Brady Quinn's not anything that they thought. And the Chiefs have got a not really rebuilt. They need a new coach, and they need a quarterback. You know, whether it's a Mike Vick resurfacing or, you know, something else happening, Kansas City's got to find somebody because I don't think Castle's the answer. And nobody on their team right now for quarterback is the answer. But they've got some wide receivers, you know, and they've got some talent.
Hold on. We got a caller. Let's see what the caller has to say. Maybe he's got some opinions on the coach and GM. Caller?
Red or pink
Monday.
It's Ray
and Jay on the air.
Yeah, what's up, Ray? What's up, Jay? What's happening? This is Hank.
What's going on, Hank, man? Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to both of you guys. Hey, I think you've kind of touched on my question, but maybe you can elaborate on it. Do you think that these GMs have too much power? I mean, with the exception of Buffalo, which you talked about, most of these teams have personnel problems, and I don't know if, you know, I don't know if the coach would have mattered and changed them from being winning teams or losing teams. From these, like, you know, Chicago's a perfect example, right? I mean, they have a personnel problem, right? They don't really have a coaching problem. And, you know, John Shula could be the coach of them, but if you don't have an offensive line, you know, you're not going to do anything. What do you guys think about that? And I'll let you guys comment.
Well, that's a great point, and I'll just point out two examples on two extremes, right? Bill Parcells said, "Hey, if I'm cooking, I need to have more say in the groceries." So that's one model. And then, you know, do you give Parcells and Shanahan, you know, the sort of coach GM powers, or do you have a separation where you have a coach, you know, who's only into the players, and the GM feeds him the groceries? Look, it's tough because as an owner, I would think that I want a GM and I want to go through the GM. And the most important thing to me first is getting talent. And then the coaches coach up the talent. But there's plenty of situations where coaches are just dead in the water. So, for example, your Kansas City Chiefs, dead in the water. They owe... You know, the league got bamboozled because Josh McDaniel coached up Matt Castle and also Bill Belichick coached up Matt Castle to think that this guy was an NFL starting quarterback. They go 11-5 when Brady, you know, tears his knee up a few years ago. And then you build this whole franchise around Scott Pioli and Matt Castle. So any coach in Kansas City would have failed. So that's to your point, Hank. Where this is a quarterback-driven league, and if you don't have a quarterback and if you don't have an offensive line, I mean, you're doomed from the beginning.
Yeah, I would say this. I mean, Hank, to me, is totally right. I mean, it's – look, Chicago, it's not Lovie's fault. I mean, when you don't get any receivers until you finally get Brandon Marshall and you're rolling with Johnny Knox and Earl Bennett for a couple seasons, it doesn't make sense when you've got this gunslinger as a quarterback. And in Buffalo, and a horrible offensive line to not help, you know, not to help Forte out and protect your quarterback, Jay Cutler, right? And then in Buffalo, they've got a lot of talent. But to me, I just think that the GM, you know, if you're going to go ahead and give Fitzpatrick or Tannenbaum, go ahead and give Sanchez. Listen, you're going to give Sanchez $8.25 million and give him this extension, and he's going to be here for at least another year. What, because you were worried about his feelings being hurt because you signed Tebow? You got to be kidding me. He didn't deserve any type of extension, any restructuring of the deal or anything. The Jets handcuffed themselves and put them in such trouble because now, you know, Rex Ryan is really stuck. He's got a two years left, but he's stuck having this guy, and the cap hit is $17 million if you let go of Sanchez. So, you know, sometimes these GMs, you know, and not every head coach, right, knows the philosophy and knows how to be a GM and to deal with the salary cap. So usually you've got to have somebody in the front office, whether it's the GM or not, that is strictly a numbers guy. And then, you know, you could have a Parcells, because I'm sure Parcells was not just doing all the numbers. He had help. So you've got to have sort of this marriage, whether you call him a president, a GM, or whatever. But, you know, there's got to be some sort of balance in organizations. And I think, of course, look, to find 32 great starting quarterbacks on earth, it's not possible. It's never happened in the league. So there's always going to be teams with the lesser, you know, lesser 8 quarterbacks or the lesser 10. And those teams are going to be the teams that really struggle unless they have everything else exceptional. And that's what happened with the Jets. Their defense was exceptional for 2 years. They had a good offensive line and a pretty decent running game to get to the AFC Championship, and everything broke their way, right? So, you know, it's a hard situation, and we'll see how this all turns out. Now, let's go to the Kansas City, and thanks, Hank, for the call and the question and all that stuff. Now, in KC, right, we said Pioli's still there. They lose Romeo.
I don't know where they're going to go, what direction, but they've got talent, you know, and we talked about that. They got defense. Their guys came back from injury. Jamaal Charles ran for 1,500 yards rushing, 1,509. So, you know, there's ability there. I don't know if they're going to franchise Dwayne Bowe or what's going to happen, but what do you think the Chiefs should do for their head coaching position? And what philosophy would you, you know, go with for them?
Well, they had Romeo, and, I mean, I don't know about Scott Pioli, but let's just assume he's still there.
Well, he's from the Patriot tree, so you know.
Yeah, he's from – everybody there was from the Patriot tree. You know, the quarterback, the coach, the GM. I think that they need – you know, maybe it's an outsider. You know, maybe it's a college guy. Maybe because that crazy rabid fan base there in Kansas City. When remember those years when they were good and Thomas was there, and then that year that Joe Montana came over from the Niners, and even those years – you know, in the 90s, and that is a crazy, crazy football town in Kansas City. So maybe you go, you know what, you throw a curveball, you take a college guy. You just say, hey, you know what, we're going to get the fans re-energized. We're going to, you know, get the college guy to get the rah-rah going back in Kansas City. Because Romeo is kind of a stoic, you know, old school NFL grizzled veteran. So maybe we go
about
college.
Bill O'Brien
maybe we bring
from Penn State.
Yeah, maybe we bring O'Brien, who was in a situation that was a no-win situation in Penn State, or maybe we get a rah-rah Chip Kelly with some crazy offensive schemes that he has. Mm-hmm. So I don't mind totally shaking it up in Kansas City because, frankly, they need to. They need shock to their system. Like Buffalo, you know, Buffalo hasn't been in the playoffs in 13 years. Kansas City, they had that good year a couple years ago. But other than that, they haven't been really good for a decade. So they need a shock to their system. So, you know what, go with a college guy. Why not?
Right. Okay, well, let's keep it moving. We have the Cleveland and the Arizona job. Cleveland, they get rid of Shurmur. I mean, you know, they got a new owner, so, you know, they're going to Joe Banner and the owner, they're going to pick their whole situation, probably get a coach first. I don't know. I mean, to me, they only gave this guy 2 years, right, Pat Shurmur?
Yeah.
I think Cleveland's improved. I think their defense has gotten better. Your boy Thaddeus Lewis was giving the Steelers problems in the first half. He played good, got his first touchdown, but, you know, the Steelers won. I like where Cleveland's headed. I don't know if Brandon
Weeden's the guy. Did you hear about Trent Richardson? He played 9 games with a couple of broken ribs.
Oh,
he's a tough dude.
Yeah, he's the real deal. I like where Cleveland's headed. You just got to figure out who your quarterback. I actually think Brandon Weeden is not that bad. I mean, look, you can't compare him to all the other rookies that played so, so well, but he also did have a little bit less talent than them. But I think if you can sign a nice wide receiver, you got to get a tight end because the tight end position is old. I like the young kid in Gordon and Travis Benjamin, those two young guys over at Cleveland. I think Greg Little is not, you know, the number one receiver, so I think they need to get a real number one and get a tight end and, you know, and just keep building offensive and defensive line. I think the Browns are not that far away. So I don't know where they're going to go. I could see them getting a Levy. I could see them trying to get a Jay Gruden or Mike McCoy. So that Cleveland situation is on the upswing. I definitely think that.
For me, a pretty interesting job because I think that they're, you know what they are? Now, they're not great because obviously Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincinnati are all much better than them in the division, but they need very, very close. For a 5-win team, they're actually better than that. And I think they need a pro coach to help them close games and bring the ball over the line. So it's like they're 4th-and-1 at the 30, so they need that big fullback to get them over, you know, metaphorically speaking. So I think they need to go with a professional winner, you know, a guy that just knows how to coach and knows how to, you know, instill professionalism and help them where they need minor tweaking. Now, granted, they haven't had a number one receiver in a decade, so they obviously have some GM issues. But I personally don't love Brandon Weeden, but you know what? I'm willing to give him a chance for another year or two. This kid Trent Richardson is the real deal. This defense is excellent, and they've been playing very, you know, sometimes a little inconsistent, but when they're on, they can play almost all of their games this year. To me, get them a professional head coach that's been a head coach for 15, 20 years, a Lovie Smith, Andy Reid type. I don't know if they're right for that situation. I like Lovie over there. But to me, Cleveland's not a bad job. It's a tough, tough division, but that's not a bad job. And they love them some football in Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, let's keep it moving. Before we get to break down these games, let's look at the last job, the Arizona Cardinals. Now, listen, I had some inside info, and I kind of knew Wisenhunt was on his way out. The GM is gone, too. I've heard some people in Arizona out here, folks are saying, can we get rid of the Bidwells? You know, they want to get rid of the owners, Ray. So people are not happy out here in Arizona. It's really about the quarterback. I mean, the quarterback and offensive line. So to me, you know, I don't, you know, there's some rumors where people are saying trade Fitzgerald and get as many draft picks you can for him. I don't think that's the answer. I think, obviously, you know, they didn't play Beanie Wells yesterday because of his comments about he was auditioning for 31 other teams, and Wisenhunt was, you know, benched him. I guess he's just got thin skin. But to me, I think they made the right, made the right move, although I think Wisenhunt is a quality guy. If they don't promote Ray Horton from within, which I think they should because the defense is incredible, right? That's the only thing the Cardinals can hang their hat on. I think whatever they do, they have got to find a quarterback, and he is not on that roster. And, you know, I think that they've got to get offensive line and, you know, maybe a running back. Running back, quarterback, and offensive line. That's the only thing they need to focus on this offseason, free agency, and the draft.
That's a lot.
Well, I mean, you can draft an offensive lineman, right? And you sign one in free agency, you know, if you look at your first-round picks and, you know, you're going to have to either trade or take a chance on a quarterback. The Arizona Cardinals are a top-10 pick. Maybe they take a chance on a Barkley, you know, and see what they can build and you know, do a short West Coast offense and just, you know, see what you can do because you've got the talent at receiver and tight end and, you know. I like the young running backs they have. You know, you could let go of Beanie.
If you like the running backs, that's a big burden. If you like LaRod Stevens Howling and Beanie Wells, and if you think
no, Beanie's gone.
Enough,
not Beanie. Beanie's gone. It's LaRod. It's Stevens Howling. It's Ryan Williams, and then the other young kid, Powell. So between those three.
So if you like those guys, that's good because that makes the head coaching job a little bit more attractive. If you figure I have a running back and all I need, because if you need to fill running back, quarterback, offensive line, basically you need a new offense. You need 11 new guys. You know, the Larry Fitzgerald dilemma is a serious dilemma, man. He's really the only one. I guess Peterson on defense is kind of the real deal, and people come out and see him, and also Kyle Washington. But the fact that the Arizona Cardinals basically were never the same after that Super Bowl is, you know, it's simply a quarterback issue, right? They thought Kevin Cobb would be the real deal, but he wasn't. And then Skelton and anybody they put back there wasn't good enough. So for them, it's real simple. They need a quarterback. They really do, because it looks like that Horton's got that defense playing the way it needs to be playing, and it's all about finding a quarterback. So I don't know, especially with the Bidwells, in terms of their reputation, I don't know how attractive that head coaching job is until they find, you know, the next coming of Kurt Warner. And then if they trade Fitzgerald to rebuild, then I don't know how attractive they are for free agency either on offense. But we'll see.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, listen, let's talk about these games. I mean, real quick, we can just, you know, announce the playoff seedings. Obviously, the NFC, you have Atlanta number one, Niners two, Green Bay three, the Redskins by winning the division four, and then the two wild cards, Seattle five and Minnesota six. So the NFC, you know, worked its way out that way. And then in the AFC, the seeding changed around, as we'll talk about in these games. But number one went to the Denver Broncos. Goes through Mile High and Invesco, whatever you want to call the stadium, but it goes through Patriots.
How about them Broncos?
Right, so number one, and then number two are the Patriots. The Texans are three. The fourth seed is the Ravens. Then you've got to go five with the Colts and six with the Bengals.
Yep.
So it's really going to be a great weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We'll talk about it the rest of the week, preview it on Friday. But let's talk about 28-18, the Redskins finish off and beat the Dallas Cowboys. What happened, man?
You know, and I watched that game in Spanish. So, you know, I was focusing on the game. And I got to tell you, those Spanish announcers have more energy than all the you. They're like listening to Gus Johnson all day. But putting that aside, it was, you know, at first I was frustrated, but then I said, Dallas is no more than an 8-18. So who are we kidding here? So at the end of the day, the better team won. RG3 wasn't even at 60-70%, but it was all about that read option, that run, and Alfred Morris and his 200 yards
he put up on you.
I mean, you know, at first I was embarrassed, and I guess I'm still embarrassed by the performance, but you know what? Dallas isn't more than an 8-8 team, and that team needs to be shaken up, and Jerry Jones has been the owner for 24 years, so he's not going anywhere. I just think that Cowboys always seem this version of the Cowboys, so ever since 96 when we won 3 out of 4 with Barry Switzer winning that, you know, taking over that team essentially from Jimmy Johnson – this team is just not, I don't know, you know, they had every opportunity to win the game and come back. Romo, but even you know, Hatcher with the hit to the helmet, really, you're going to cause yourself a 15-yard penalty. You stop them. They should have kicked the field goal, go up 6, you get the ball back, you still have a chance to win the game. Romo gets the ball back 3 minutes on the 30. Of course, he throws that interception. So they always shoot themselves in the foot. It's mainly Romo because he's the quarterback, obviously. But Dallas doesn't always get beaten. Like if you get beaten, you can live with that. But when you beat yourself, when you
well, that's
throw
it,
the
though. But how are they going to stop? And when are they going to stop beating themselves? And let me tell you something.
Know.
That's why I would bring in North Turner. But to me, Garrett. I don't think he manages the offense or the game or the team properly. Rob Ryan is the best thing going for you guys in that defense. Your secondary's been shored up. You had a lot of injuries, so I'm not worried about the defense. The talent is there. The guys will be back. Spencer's earned another shot at getting a contract because he played great this year and yesterday. And, you know, DeMarcus will get healthy and Lee will come back. To me, it's your offensive line. I need a defensive lineman, and I need to run the ball. You got to run the ball more. Romo with three interceptions.
DeMarco Murray, you got your backs in DeMarco Murray, Felix Jones, and Tanner and Vickers. They're totally fine. So all you need, the glue, the gel, the offensive coordinator that pulls it all together, and somebody needs to get in Romo's ear. He needs a quarterback's coach. He needs to get, you know, instruction from somebody. I don't know if you bring in Joe Montana to be a special consultant or somebody, but I don't love Jason Garrett as a head coach, and I certainly think if you're going to keep Romo, something's got to change. Something has to change. Either you need a leader on the field. Maybe Dez Bryant grows into that, or DeMarco Murray grows into that, or something. But really, it's the quarterback, and I don't know how you change it. I don't know how you become more protective of the ball. How you become more clutch.
You have to have less opportunities passing, but you got to get protection for him. You got to. It's offensive line is your issue. That's your number one issue. So let's keep it moving, fighting the clock. The Vikings, 37-34 over the most incredible quarterback I might have ever seen in my life, Aaron Rodgers. That guy is incredible. Some of those passes yesterday were so sick. But congrats to them. AP falls 9 yards short, and Blair Walsh kicks the game winner, and the Vikings are in the playoffs. It's incredible. I predicted it. I really believed in this team. I told you that no matter, even without, you know, having, you know, Ponder and not having Percy Harvin, that AP would carry them to a victory. He didn't get the record. Neither one of us thought he'd get the record.
199 yards. That's awesome.
Oh, God, he's incredible. Listen, to me, it's not a knock on Manning. I mean, you got to do the operation. They were joking about it on ESPN, and you're fusing the neck and this and that, whatever. He missed the whole year. AP, you could split both awards. You could split the MVP, to me, like they've done it before with Manning and McNair. I would split it with AP and Manning. But comeback, to me, with that knee and the pounding, Manning never gets touched. He doesn't get hit. AP gets hit every single play, and he's had over 1,000 yards after being touched, okay, this season. He is the manimal, and he is the comeback player of the year, hands down. The Vikings, that was incredible,
yeah,
man. And now they go to Green Bay.
That was incredible. And kudos to Leslie Frazier, you know, for sticking in there and getting a 10-6 record out of, again, I don't love Christian Ponder, and everybody know, you know, it's like Herschel Walker at Georgia, you know, student body left, student body right. You know,
but that's such a great coaching job. No Percy Harvin, and they freaking made the playoffs.
No Percy Harvin for half the year. That's fantastic.
That's incredible.
The only problem for Minnesota is that victory gets them a trip to Lambeau next week.
Yeah, we'll talk
you know,
about that.
A rematch.
So we'll talk about
that. The only downside, which I think Green Bay will win. We'll talk about that later in the week. But, yeah, hats off to Minnesota. And you know what? We'll talk about this a little bit. But hats off to all the teams, except for the Cowboys. All the teams that had to win won their game. So that's great to see when the clutch teams stepped up. You know what I mean?
Right.
The Giants, even though they're not in the playoffs, they won their game.
Exactly. Maybe except for
the
next
Vikings
game.
Won their game, and the Bears won their game, and the Redskins won their game.
Right, right.
So every
except
team in the NFC won their game.
The one team that could have solidified their seeding at the number one did not win it, and the 12-4 Texans now are, you know, playing next week. The Colts couldn't have moved. They were going to always be the 5 seed. They won, you know, emotionally for Chuck, and it was 28-16 in the Texans. And Schaub, this is the question. Remember I told you when we talked about the Pro Bowl? Because Ben Roethlisberger should have maybe made it over him or some other guys. I don't necessarily know if I believe in Schaub. Now, last year, T.J. Yates at home beat the Bengals. This is a different Bengal team, and I don't know if Schaub is going to be clutch enough and that defense is going to be strong enough to stop A.J. and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. And we'll see what happens. But the Colts beat the Texans yesterday, and now the Texans are the number 3 seed. What do you think about that in that game?
You know, the we'll talk about this in our next segment, but they lost 3 out of 4, the Texans did. And, you know, this was their chance to solidify the number seed and have home field throughout. And they didn't even look good. It's not like, you know, they played a great game and the Colts played a better game, a miraculous game.
Yeah, you're breaking up a little bit.
Championship.
I'm losing you a little bit.
Oh, sorry. You didn't see a championship-level team out there.
No, you definitely didn't. But you know what? Let's keep it moving so we can get to our champs and chumps. The Giants, like you said, they did what they had to do. They just Eli, 5 touchdowns, Victor Cruz, everybody. Reuben Randall looked good, 42-7. They embarrassed the Eagles. I mean, that was just the saddest way for Andy to go out. And the Giants looked good, but it was too little, too late in that whole situation. You know, so that's just a mess. And then, what a game, right, between the Bears and the Lions. They go back and forth. Calvin Johnson falls a little bit short, but they win 26-24. The Bears win, and Lovey, you know, gets the 10-6, but gets fired and doesn't make the playoffs. So,
yeah, good games. You know, those NFC North games are always good games, and this was a great one, 26-24. Too bad it didn't mean anything for the Lions, but you know, again, the Bears were clutch. They won their game. They had to do. Unfortunately, the tiebreak didn't fall their way.
And then what did you think about the Bengals? You know, they don't have to play them, but in their division, they finally broke the backs and finally beat the Steelers and the Ravens this year. They won 23-17 over the Ravens. And, you know, the guys weren't all playing all their guys, and the Ravens benched their guys. They both end up 10-6. But I think a good win for the Bengals, you know. I think definitely.
Yeah,
win.
It's a confidence booster. I mean, it's like week 4 of the preseason. Unfortunately, you know, Tyrod Taylor played most of the game, and Pierce and Dixon were the, you know, the leading receivers and rushers. So, We'll see. That's one of those where you just say, oh, it's nice for confidence for the Bengals to have a 10-win season. Good for Marvin Lewis. Good for that team. And let's see if that momentum helps them against the Texans next week.
Yeah. No. Definitely. It's going to be something else. So real quick, we don't have much time. Champs and chumps, for the last time, for me, I'll let you go first. You do your champs and chumps first.
Okay, well, we just talked about it, so I'll start with the negative. The chumps of the week to me are the Houston Texans. And not only are they the chumps of this week, they're the chumps of the last 4 weeks because they had the best record in all of football, and they were tied with the Falcons, and they lost 3 out of 4. And every time this year they had a chance, and I'm particularly frustrated because they were my pick to go to the Super Bowl, you know, every time they had a chance to win games on the national spotlight and prove that they're legit, they failed. So in week 6, they lost to Green Bay 42-24. And then in week 14, they lost to New England 42-14. And then they beat Indianapolis. That was a good game. And then they had an interdivisional rivalry against Minnesota. They lost that game 23-6. And then
at home,
16. So, number one seed, home field throughout, and again, didn't even come to play. It seemed like they were so disappointing. And to give up for a chance at a team that doesn't have playoff success and really was 8-8 for many years until last year where they win and, you know, they ironically played the Bengals. They had it all. They had the opportunity, and they just couldn't capitalize on it. And all they had to do was win one game in the last 4 weeks, two games, sorry. They went 1-3 to end the season. So they're my chumps.
All right, let's keep it moving. Listen, it's real quick. He's a bum. Sanchez, 17 for 35, 205. They get killed and lose to Buffalo, put up 9 points. But to me, with Mark Sanchez, it's deeper than that. It's his whole career, okay? I'm telling you, this guy has not produced. I don't think he belongs starting. I don't think he belongs, you know, with the Jets. And I really feel that Mark Sanchez, I don't know. I don't want to say out of the NFL, but he should be the backup. He should, you know, give back his contract. Now, look, he's thrown for 12,000 yards this year. It was 2,000, you know, 2,800. I mean, where most NFL quarterbacks are throwing for, you know, between 3,000 and 4,000 or, you know, some guys at 4,500. This guy throws for 2,800, you know, got benched. His completion percentage was 54%. For his career, he's only 55%. I mean, the interceptions, he's led the league in turnovers. This year, he only threw for 13 touchdowns. He cannot get it done. I mean, 18 interceptions.
He said he wasn't ready. Pete Carroll said he wasn't ready coming out of college. He should have never been the number 5 overall pick.
And this is the best stat of it all, and then we can go positive with champs real quick before the show ends. 68 touchdowns, 69 interceptions for his career. That says it all. And 43 fumbles. So Sanchez is my chump forever for the 2012-13 NFL season.
Wow. Okay, so let's turn positive. And it's a little negative for me, but it's positive because he's a great kid. Looks like he's here to stay. Florida.
How about
Atlantic
them
home. Yeah, exactly. Alfred Morris, 33 rushes for 200 yards, but the best out of them all, 3 touchdowns. But even better than that, his long was only 32 yards. So it's not like he had a 70-yard play. He was just getting 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yards in a clip on a game that mattered, right? Because if the Redskins lose, they're out of the playoffs. It's not like they had the security. So my champ of week 17, despite being a Cowboys fan, Alfred Morris, breaking all kinds of records, the best season ever for watching Redskins running back, and the rookie record for running backs. He's amazing. So Alfred Morris, kudos to you. You're my champ.
And number 2 in rushing this season behind AP, 400 yards behind AP. I got to go with the Panthers and D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo had 21 for 210. I mean, average 10 yards a carry, two touchdowns. Where were you all season? I don't know.
Where was
and the whole team has stepped up, though. I will say this. They ended it on a good note, 7-9. Cam Newton played good the final stretch. And, you know, you look if you're them, you look forward to next year. Rivera looks like he's staying. They need to get some more talent, though, around Cam, you know. But I would definitely say that's the best way to go out. It was a good show. Happy New Year.
All right, we had a great 2012 also. Happy New Year.
Man.
A great
And Ray will be back so we can hear him. We can hear him in 2013 because the phone situation was rough down there at DR, man. But that's all right, you know. How about the Cowboys?
Well, 2012.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Happy New Year, and we will be back in 2013. We'll see you. We'll see you Wednesday. You know, so Happy New Year, Ray and Tay. Be safe out there.
Okay, here I come, hip-hop's number one son. Well, truth be told, I'm more like a younger brother. Cause I've been around since people thought Dana Dana, Slick Rick were brothers. And my philosophy is to master ceremonies and attack all your phonies. And yes, I move the crowd. I got it made and I'm black and I'm proud. I walk like a panther and I rock my belt. I play my radio loud cause I'm raising hell. When I spit these dark shells, then can taste the smell. Yo, it ain't hard to tell. Ride tracks like Dale Earnhardt. I never die broke, son, cause I always earn hard. And I always stay humble when I give it all to God. I'm mysterious, peculiar, and a little odd. I am IB, I am the E. All I want before I die is a track from Dre or Primo B. Honestly, most MCs ain't effing with me. Symphonically, my lyrical pathology masters me to dispense some meaningful poetry. Or some wisdom in my lines, or some truth in my rhymes, or even reminiscing of a couple of dimes. Either way, son, I'm telling you, you gon' respect mine. Yes, I always shine, every single day. You know I don't play, cause I study the secrets of this society. And I teach it to my sons every other day.